Pastor Timothy Keller promotes cultural Marxism and tells Christians that their conscience can be clear when voting for pro-abortion candidates. And what sort of mandates do Christians truly have when it comes to taking care of the poor? Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about politics. Now, that's not a topic that I try to dig into too much, but there are times where we do need to discuss it. You know, I was recently out sharing the gospel with a group of friends. You guys know that the 5:11 Street Team, the 5:11 News Street Team that we put together, it's been growing. In fact, we are bringing, I believe now, 17 different people out to Texas with us, and we leave literally on Sunday. And if you watch the Blessed Hope Chapel live stream, you're going to see me. We're going to do a prayer right there, right after announcements concerning the team that is going out there. And so we ask that you guys pray alongside of us. We're trying to do an amazing gospel outreach on next Wednesday through Friday. We're going to be on the streets of San Antonio sharing the gospel down there amongst the people and letting people know that Jesus died for the sins that they have committed. And we have to also let them know they've committed those sins. But we're going to be out there sharing the gospel. And alongside of that, on that Friday, so a week from today, on that Friday and Saturday, we're going to be doing a two-day evangelism conference, and we'll actually be live streaming that to our Good Fight Ministries Facebook page. So I'd love for you guys to check that out and be involved, and hopefully be an encouragement to you to get out there and share the gospel. So we want to let you guys know about that. And we also, guys, tonight, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, it is awesome. We are, guess what, airing the premiere of the fourth part, the fourth installment of our docuseries of Satan's sex scheme. This four-part one is going to be called From Porn to Sex Trafficking. You guys are going to see some wonderful interviews from Nico. He went on the streets, and you guys already saw those in the last episode where he was asking people, and they were pretty proud about their porn watching. But you're going to see some people's minds change when they find out some of the information that they are going to find out through this little series you guys are going to get to see. So I'm excited for that to happen. I hope you guys can be involved and check that out and be encouraged. And we were out with that same group. There was probably about 20, 25 of us. And cool thing was, out in Huntington Beach, there were like five or six different evangelistic groups out there that day sharing the gospel. That's something I've never seen. I've seen Rain Comfort out there, but we saw a bunch of people out there sharing the gospel. And I thought, wow, what an encouragement that people are hopefully recognizing their end. That's something I had planned on talking about. I'm not going to be talking about today, but discussing death, discussing COVID-19 and death, because maybe you're not worried about it. You know, praise God, if you're a believer, you shouldn't be worried anyways. But yeah, I mean, even if you're talking about not being afraid of what's in the here and now, and you don't believe what's going on with COVID-19, either way, regardless, there are people that are absolutely fearful and afraid of this, and they at least are thinking about their end. Think about that. In the scriptures, in Ecclesiastes, we're told it's better to go to a place of mourning than a place of feasting because people consider their end. And it's a great opportunity for us to go share the gospel. So seeing that other people are seeing the same thing that we're seeing and saying, hey, I want to share the gospel, that is an encouragement. I want to encourage you guys to do that. Maybe you got family members that aren't saved, and maybe they're totally fearful about what is going on right here in with COVID-19. What a great opportunity to say, do you know what would happen? Let's say, you know what, the fact is that there is a 100% mortality rate, not with COVID-19, but with sin. Because sin came into the world, there's a 100% mortality rate. So you need to make sure you know the Lord. It is with the fear of God that we persuade men. Let's do that. And we bring them to the fixed hope that we have. That's how we give an answer for the hope that is within us. That is us sharing the gospel with people. And I was just talking, as I mentioned, and this is a long intro to get back to what I had mentioned in the beginning, but we were out on the pier and it was really cool because my buddy Tommy Paneri was out there sharing and he's big into fishing. And I got a lot of guys that listen to the show that are friends with Tommy and they know he's a really big fan of fishing. And so he was using that, talking to all the fishermen on the pier, to then an opening for the gospel. And we were handing out Are You on the Road to Heaven tracts that Pastor Joe Schimmel wrote. And so we were handing those out and Tommy was starting conversations with a number of people. And he comes upon, and we were with another friend, a newer guy at the fellowship. His name's Mac. He's in the Navy. And so he saw a veteran with a hat on. And so he began talking to him and I started talking with him as well. And next thing you know, he's telling me his beliefs and we started talking about the afterlife. And he was a Vietnam veteran and a Jewish man. And we started going back and forth a little bit. It was a little testy at some times, but you know, I think there's ways that you're able to share the gospel, show that you love them, show that you care about truth is another one. Always show that you care about truth and not just that, hey, I'm doing this as a philosophy or I was born into it, but share that, no, I believe it because it's true. I've come to know that Jesus is the way, the truth in and the life, okay? We know that he is the truth and we have life in him. And he said, this is why I don't discuss politics and religion, you know? And I said, well, those are pretty much the only things that matter. So we should talk about them, right? Because guys, as much as you don't like politics, the fact is they have an effect on what goes on around you. And the truth is that when you get to hear people's politics, you actually get to hear what their real world view is. Because plenty of people say, I'm a Christian and a Democrat, or I'm a Christian and a Republican, or I'm a Christian and a this, or I'm a Muslim and a Democrat, I'm a Muslim and a Republican, I'm a Hindu. And the fact is that when the rubber meets the road, when we see our faith in practice, and when we see our philosophy turning into not only what we believe, but what we practice, we see what people truly believe. You see, when someone is telling you how much of a Christian they are, and then they go to tell you about how they don't believe in witnessing, they don't believe in sharing the gospel, they don't believe in telling people that they're in sin, they don't believe that they believe it's okay to have an abortion, and these things, you can just list them all down the road, and then they say, but I'm a Christian, you say, that faith is worthless, you're a liar. I could sit here and tell you all day that I'm a pro baseball player, but if I don't put on the pants and go play the sport and get paid for it, guess what? I'm not a pro baseball player. So you can call yourself anything you want. It doesn't make it true. So we need to identify that and understand that. So I was talking to him a little bit about that, and we had some commonality because he was a lineman for 40 years, not in the NFL, that's in telecommunications. And I worked at my brother in Christ, his dad's company, and then a good friend of mine at the time, his dad, they're cousins and they owned a company and it was a subcontracting company for AT&T. And so I, you know, whatever you can use to get a conversation going with someone, use it, whatever you can use, any commonality that's not in sin, use it. Okay, it's okay to call commonality in saying we are all sinners, but the fact is that use that commonality, use something to make an opening for the door of the gospel so you can speak the mysteries of Christ to someone. That's a huge goal for me. And when people say they don't want to talk about religion and politics, it's because the truth is they want to suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because typically when someone has politics, they need to have some sort of standard for why they have moral codes to what they are saying. So when they have these moral codes, you ask, where did you get that? Why do you care about the poor, supposedly? Why do you care about women's rights? It has to do with worldview. So it has to typically go back to religion. And in truth, what it goes back to, more so than religion, is it goes back to what is your standard. If your standard is the Word of God, then we're going to have a similar worldview. There may be times where we differ, but if your standard is truly the Word of God, and when God says that you believe it, you're going to have a very similar standard. There's a reason why that there may be Republican conventions, and right now you see the standard moving all over the place a lot of times, especially if you talk about gay marriage, where we literally posted about gay marriage, and because Donald Trump bragged about being the most pro-homosexual president and was proud of it, and because we posted that, all of a sudden Christians on our page, nonetheless, are talking about how they're actually now pro-gay marriage, that it's totally fine. And so these are the types of things where, and guys, we're going to be talking, like I said, about politics, and I'm not here to bash and just simply bash Trump. We're going to be talking a little bit about where you have your standard. And as the title of this episode, I know it's taking me a long time to get into it, but there's a lot of background into this, okay? And I don't want you to think that I just like to talk about politics, because I don't. But guess what? That's what people are talking about. And the topic at hand that we're going to discuss today is, guess what? One that is going to be thrown in your face until November 3rd over and over and over and over again over the next month or so. And that is the topic of abortion. That topic is going to be thrown over and over again in our face. And so what we need to do, and this is why this show exists, right? So that you are ready for, I don't know if your job allows you to be there. Hopefully you have some water cooler talk, right? But hopefully maybe you're in a group text, maybe you're in a Zoom call, that people are going to be saying things. You need to be ready to give an answer. And also you need to be equipped so that not just some thoughts, but that every thought you have is brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We want to be captive to his obedience. That's what we want. And we do that by knowing his word and knowing what his standard is, knowing exactly what his word says. So we're going to do that today, because there is one of the most well-known pastors. In fact, we talked about being in the top 100 and the top 32 of podcasts concerning, Good Fight Radio Show and 511 News, and we've been able to make those lists a number of times. And the one guy I see is number one over and over again in faith and spirituality is none other than Pastor Tim Keller out of New York. And he's considered an intellectual. He he's spoken at Cambridge and a number of places. And I've even heard great teachers say, if I had any choice of a pastor, if Tim Keller, I mean, guys that, you know, I really admire and look to and think they have a lot of good information, they say, Pastor Timothy Keller would be my candidate. And I have to say right now, I'm going to be playing a clip here, not right now, because it's when we switch subjects a little bit on him, but I was reading his campaigning for liberal Christians, the campaigning of saying it's okay, and I'm going to read from this, and so I don't want to bury it just yet, but campaigning for the right of Christians to vote in a certain manner that I believe is repugnant and disgusting, and I'm going to show you some things that I believe are analogous concerning his statements that he made, and he's been getting called out for, so I praise God for that. But Timothy Keller, as I said, is a very, very well-known pastor. He's a well-known author and speaker. I know brothers and sisters in Christ who've read and loved a lot of his books. And I disagree with him on soteriology concerning Calvinism. And so already I have some places where I'm like, I don't agree with you there. So I'm typically not going to use you for a level of growth, especially on something that I believe is so important and foundational in terms of my beliefs as a Christian. So that's my personal conviction. And so I never really followed him too much. But when I saw this, I had to say something, because in all honesty, I've had enough. And he actually came out and he calls out a statement that I have made quite clear on this show. And I'm going to make it again today, because I believe he is categorically wrong. Catastrophically wrong here, all right? So I'm going to read from the Christian Post. They did an article on this, and here's what it has to say. Notable author and pastor Timothy Keller has denounced the idea that a Christian must vote for Donald Trump or must vote for Joe Biden, citing a, quote, liberty of conscience. And you guys may know this. John MacArthur has been, and you guys know we have a lot of differences with John MacArthur, but I really don't have much of a problem with what he's doing now in terms of just, you know, standing up and saying we're still going to have church and standing up against some of the tyranny that's going on. But nonetheless, he basically said that a true Christian will vote for Trump. Now, I won't go as far as that. Every true Christian will vote for Trump. I do not believe that that is a statement that's true. All right. I will say this. If you are someone who is voting for Trump and you come to me and say, hey, listen, it's very clear to me that the other party wants to destroy the republic here that I believe allows us to have the rights that we do have that make it free and able to share the gospel and send out missionaries very easily from America. And you say, I'm going to be voting for him for this. And you know what? Some of the more pro-life legislation has come forth during his reign. Now, if you say that and you say, I'm voting for him for those things, I say, okay, that's fine. I do believe you have liberty of conscience voting for him that. If you came to me as a Christian and say, hey, I have way too many struggles. I believe his peace plan with Israel is satanic. I think that Donald Trump says the most profane things about women. I don't believe, you know, all that. You say, I can't vote for him. I have no problem with that either. That's not a place where I'm going to say, I can't fellowship with either one of you. All right. I totally understand both sides on that. And I do believe we have a liberty of conscience there. But I think he's going to go a little too far. So in a series of posts to Twitter last week that has sparked debate, Keller discussed how Christians should approach conscience and political involvement. Quote, the Bible binds my conscience to take care for the poor, but it does not tell me the best practical way to do it. Any particular strategy, high taxes and government service versus low taxes and private charity, may be good and wise. It may even be somewhat inferred from other things the Bible teaches, but they are not directly commanded, and therefore we cannot insist that all Christians, as a matter of conscience, follow one or the other. He said that Democrats and Republicans offer a potpourri of different positions in these and many other topics, most of which, just as noted, the Bible does not speak to directly. Ooh, this is where I have some disagreements. This means when it comes to taking political positions, voting, determining alliances, and political involvement, the Christian has liberty of conscience. Christians cannot say to other Christians, no Christian can vote for, or every Christian must vote for. I believe one of those statements is true. You cannot say every Christian must vote this way, but you certainly can say no Christian can vote for this person. And I will call out that person. No Christian, I believe, biblically, could look at the positions of Joe Biden and vote for him. And you know what I'm going to do? Instead of you hearing my opinion, I'm going to read just the abortion issue. And yes, when you say, okay, let me just go. I know this is tangent time, okay? But I have to say this because this really bothers me that people think that socialism means you're taking care of the poor. That's not actually true. All right, that's not actually true. The forced covetousness is not biblical either, all right? In terms of actually enforcing covetousness, all right? I have, in all honesty, when it comes to the capitalism debate and all that stuff, I don't really have a hand in that. That's not what I'm talking about here. But specifically, thinking that you are more altruistic when you are forced to be, I think that's absolutely just ridiculous. And I do believe that the position of socialism is not only forced altruism, but it's forced covetousness. That's what it is. But nonetheless, I'm just going to read about the abortion issue because when people say, I'm not a single issue voter as a Christian, here's the problem. We both agree that poor people, we need to help them, right? I hope so. And I want to go over scriptures concerning that. We both should agree that Christians are mandated to hopefully take care of the poor. The Bible says very clearly to believers that we should not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in our power to do so, right? We need to make sure that we're there for the poor and the needy, that our sacrifices are a sacrifice, not only of praise, but that we take care of the poor and the needy. We would take care of the widow and the orphan. This is specifically what true and undefiled religion is, according to James 1:27. So yes, that is a position of Christians. But when I say single issue, if I tell you this is how we take care of the poor, we rip them limb from limb and we throw them into the back alley, into buckets. And then sometimes we sell those body parts. That's how we take care of the poor. Is that a single issue for you? Can you take that single issue and say, oh, that seems like a really bad policy by Mr. Biden, but you know what? He has other things he does great with. Healthcare. I just love his healthcare system. So it's okay that he's ripping homeless people limb from limb and throwing them into barrels. That's totally fine. Oh, and selling their body parts. Oh, and by the way, his vice president went when Planned Parenthood was exposed for selling the body parts of not homeless people, but of babies, when they were shown and proven via video and audio, instead of her going after Planned Parenthood for doing this wicked deed and making money off the body parts of babies, she actually made sure she prosecuted the man who caught them. Just know that. And that is precisely who you're voting for. Okay? And I'm going to read this, and then we're going to play a clip because I want you to know what abortion is. I am so sick and tired of abortion being called a choice and women's rights and all of this, because it's not. And when you say I'm not a single issue voter and that single issue has to do with the mutilation and murder of babies, guess what? It's a single issue of cowardice and it's pathetic. And we need to actually call it out for what it is. So I'm going to read this as fast as I can because I know the video is coming up. And we may not even get into Timothy Keller's cultural Marxism because we have a whole clip to play on that. But nonetheless, we will talk about this, okay? Here is from a BBC News. And by the way, when it's so funny to watch, to read news and to even consider it objective when you read articles like this, is pretty sad. But I'm going to read as much as I can so you guys can see the different positions on abortion. Quote, and yes, we know that President Trump, before he got into office, was very pro-abortion. In fact, he was even partial birth abortion. But that has changed, and obviously legislation has gone forth that has proven that. So we actually have some proof that he's changed his position, at least practically, so the sense that we do have pro-life bills that have come out and Mr. Biden wants abolished. But let's read. With President Trump in the White House and following the death of liberal justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, anti-abortion activists are energized. Republican-controlled states have tightened restrictions on abortions in recent years, and there is a brewing political battle over whether Mr. Trump should seek to fill the Supreme Court vacancy with a conservative judge prior to the 3rd of November election. Now, real quick, guys, this is something that's really important, and this is why we're going to be hearing a lot about this before November 3rd, because specifically, liberals want to make sure that baby murder continues. So that's why they don't want a new justice in. So let's keep talking. And it's going to be a major political talking point because they want to make sure that a pro-baby murder Supreme Court justice is in there so Roe v. Wade isn't thrown out. So let's read. Activists are concerned it could put in peril the landmark 1973 ruling that legalized abortion nationwide, legalized baby murder. Yet public support for abortion rights is the highest in decades. That's disgusting. We're pathetic as a nation. To think we're growing morally is just ridiculous. According to the Pew Research Center, let's compare where the presidential candidates stand on this issue. Mr. Trump's key message. We are making it harder to get an abortion now. Want to overturn federal protections and that would support a near total ban. We will also seek to fill the Supreme Court seat left vacant by Justice Ginsburg's death before the election. Mr. Biden's key message. We will protect a woman's right to choose and fight to keep access to abortion legal. We will withdraw Mr. Trump's Supreme Court nominee if we win the presidential election. Roe v. Wade is the landmark Supreme Court ruling from 1973, which safeguarded the right to murder a baby on a national level. Yes, that's some editing by me. It protects a woman's right to murder a baby only until viability, the point of that at which a fetus is able to live outside the womb, generally by the start of the third trimester, 28 weeks into a pregnancy. But yet, when a baby does survive the abortion, there's plenty of states, including Virginia, that they actually kill the baby after its birth. But anyways, Mr. Trump had promised in 2016 to pick judges who would automatically overturn Roe. Now, we haven't done that, but while that hasn't happened yet, he has installed hundreds of federal judges plus two conservative justices on the top court. And if the president wins re-election, he could reshape the judiciary even further. He has said he will nominate a candidate prior to the election to fill in the vacant seat. Conservative states such as Alabama have recently pushed near total abortion bans in the hope a legal challenge against those restrictions will ultimately lead to Supreme Court toppling Roe v. Wade. Mr. Trump has expressed support for banning abortion overall, except for the cases of rape, incest, or danger to the mother's life. Like, here is where I have a big problem. Because here is the simple fact. If a baby is a person, and I shouldn't even say if, the baby is a person in that womb. The baby is a person. We have known that. The only people who deny that are those who are willfully ignorant. That means stupid on purpose. You are trying to not know. You are trying to not know. And I say stupid in the biblical sense. They are unwilling to heed correction in Proverbs 12:1. Unwilling to heed correction. And therefore, they are, as the Bible says, stupid. All right. And that is what's going on for those who are willfully ignorant concerning abortion. Silent Scream came out like 40 years ago, okay? We know what's going on in there, and we know now via 3D, if you want to know what's going on when they murder a baby. And so since the child is a person, that child stays a person regardless of the sins of the father, how heinous. The rapist, in my opinion, justice should be put upon that rapist. I believe he should be either castrated or killed. That's what should happen to proven, without a doubt, rapist. That's my personal opinion. All right. They should be dealt with swiftly, as the scriptures say. And it's literally the job of the magistrates, according to Romans 13. But nonetheless, as we continue, Biden has pledged to rescind the so-called global gag rule in his agenda for women. The Democratic candidate has also expressed support of repealing the Hyde Amendment, which blocks taxpayer money from being used for abortions, except in the cases of rape, incest, or danger to the mother. It has meant that lower-income women who receive government aid for health care, gosh, that's not health care. You cannot care for the health of something you're murdering, have not been able to access abortion services. Biden earlier in the campaign said he favored the measure, but after criticism, because he's a flippy, floppy little sandal, but after criticism from his colleagues on the left, he has changed his mind, just as he is on so many topics. But nonetheless, this is what we have. And so, yes, I will say, please listen to this video. I'm going to play this clip before I finish up, and I only have about a minute when I finish up here. Please listen to this clip, because I want to make it clear what an abortion is, what baby murder is. And this is from a doctor who had literally done over 1,200 paid baby murder assassinations. And he's going to tell you how he did them. Let's go, Tony.
Today I'm going to describe a second trimester surgical abortion called dilatation and evacuation, or D&E. A D&E is performed between 13 and 24 weeks of pregnancy. After administering anesthesia, the abortionist uses a weighted speculum, like this one, that opens the vagina widely. Because second trimester babies are so large, this greater access facilitates a late-term abortion. Late-term abortion requires that the cervix be prepared 24 to 48 hours in advance with laminaria. Laminaria is a type of sterilized seaweed that absorbs water over 8 to 12 hours and swells to several times its original diameter. Once removed, metal dilators can be used to further open the cervix as needed. Once the cervix has been stretched open, the suction tube is placed inside. A baby at 20 weeks gestation is as big as the length of my hand, from head to rump, not counting the legs. The suction machine is turned on, and pale yellow amniotic fluid surrounding the baby is suctioned out through the catheters. With babies this big, they don't fit through catheters this size. The baby's bones and skull are too strong to be torn apart by suction alone. This is a sofa clamp. A sofa clamp is made of stainless steel. It's about 13 inches long. The business end is about 2.5 inches long and a half inch wide, and there are rows of sharp teeth. This is a grasping instrument. When it gets a hold of something, it does not let go. The abortionist uses this clamp to grasp an arm or leg. Once he has a firm grip, the abortionist pulls hard in order to tear the limb from the baby's body. One by one, the rest of the limbs are removed, along with the intestines, the spine, and the heart and lungs. Usually the most difficult part of the procedure is extracting the baby's head, which is about the size of a large plum at 20 weeks. The head is grasped and crushed. The abortionist knows he has crushed the skull when a white substance comes out of the cervix. This was the baby's brains. The abortionist then removes skull pieces. He removes the placenta and any leftover parts of the baby with a curette, scraping the lining of the uterus for any remaining tissue. The abortionist then collects the baby parts and reassembles them to make sure that there are two arms, two legs, and all the pieces. Once all the parts have been accounted for, the abortion is complete.
Guys, get that into your head. I know it's hard to listen to, and I probably should have given a warning before I played it, because it is hard to listen to. But guys, that's what we're actually talking about when we talk about this issue. We're not talking about a clump of cells. People have literally been lied to and programmed since they were little kids in our school systems. Let's make sure we speak to truth with power. And when I say with power, it's with the word of God. And we come back and we say, Proverbs 6 is really clear. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. But guess what? Even for you who have an abortion, God is loving, merciful. And guess what? If you come to him, he will not cast you out. God bless.
The 511 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 511 News.